Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? What is up? What is up? Hey, I got to fire my sound engineer, man. That's all I got to say. I got to fire my sound engineer. Had us out here looking bad, Kiri. I thought we was going to go right into the intro, and I had some technical difficulties, but it's all good, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome into the ATL Dreaming Podcast, Season 2, Episode 5. It is your Kiri and your man's E-Dub taking you through another week of Atlanta Dream Basketball. I first must acknowledge my co-host, Miss Kiri. How are you today, dear? How are you?
Just lovely. Just holding it down in the ATL while you out there on the other side of the world. On the other side of the world.
Hey, I am coming to you live from South Carolina via my family vacation. So we still gonna get it in. We still gonna get the folks a show. We went without a show last week because the schedules didn't match up. A whole lot of stuff didn't match up. I'm like, yo, we're doing it this week. I don't care. Hell or high water, we gonna make it happen, right?
And we're here.
Come the hell or the high water, man. But first things first, man. Thank you guys for checking us out. If you can't check us out live, we appreciate you guys checking us on the replay. You can catch us on all of your streaming platforms, wherever podcasts are streamed. You can catch the ATL Dreaming Podcast Season 2, the only Atlanta Dream podcast dedicated solely and wholly to the Atlanta Dream. And we're going to get into it, Kiri. It's been kind of a rough week for Atlanta Dream basketball, but we're here to soothe you guys, right? We're here to make it feel good, right, Kiri?
Absolutely. That's our job.
Yeah, so we're gonna get into the week that was. We're gonna talk a little bit about the losing streak. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about the game upcoming today against Washington. I believe that game tips off at 3:30 in College Park. So if you have time, go down there and check it out. I'm sure there's probably tickets available. You know, if you ain't got nothing to do, go check out the Atlanta Dream, right?
Nothing better than a Sunday with our girls, Atlanta Dream.
That's right, man. So we're going to get into it, man. But first things first, let's get into some of this hot news, some news going on around the WNBA. And I wanted to start with just taking a look at the standings first, Yakiri. And what a difference 2 weeks makes, right?
Unbelievable, you know
what a difference 2 weeks was. And look, and here's the thing: I know we're on a little losing streak, but I still feel fairly confident about the makeup of this team, who we have on this team, and what we can accomplish this team. How are you feeling about this team overall?
I'm in total agreement with you, because at the end of the day, the Hawks proved it to us. First off, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you end. And this team right here, we got some good players here. We got a good setup. We got some good pieces. It's just trying to figure it out, you know? It's just trying to figure it out. We got a new coach, new players, some vets, some newbies, a rookie in between, an injury, tips back. So, again, it's just all about figuring it out. And that's where I stand. I'm still looking forward to seeing what will become of this team, but I'm very optimistic. You know, I'm the optimist here.
Yeah, and like, listen, don't jump the plank yet. Don't walk, you know what I'm saying? Don't jump out the ship yet. We're only 4-6. The Atlanta Dream are 4-6. They're on a little bit of a slide. They're on a four-game losing streak. But listen, the two games in Minnesota, we're going to talk about those, some tough ones. And then you lost two against the world champs, right? Like Seattle, like they're the world champs. They're still the world champs until somebody knocks them off. So,
I mean, again, we're talking. You want to talk about Seattle? How can you? They're champions right now. So, you know, as expected. But yeah, we can bounce back, and we will.
Speaking of Seattle, one of their players was recognized as the WNBA Player of the Month. And I wanted to give some kudos to one Breonna Stewart and one Jaquel Jones. Those were the June WNBA Players of the Month for the month of, I believe it was June. Not June. It's got to be May, right? Because we're in June now. Yeah, so it's got to be May. So those were the players of the month. Salute both of those ladies. They're off to really good starts. Brianna, I mean, that's just what she does, right? Like, she can really get player of the month every month if we wanted to. Exactly. But Jaquel Jones is having a really good year. She's off to a really good start. So salute to her as well. Salute Absolutely. To both of those ladies, man. Did you get a chance to – now, you were at the last stream game, right? Or did you just watch
it? What was it, Friday? That would be a no-go. I was not here. You know, we had that double coverage. You know, I was in between like, okay, how do we do this? How do we do this? Write this, what do we do? But no, I was there, you know, in spirit, and I did see everything, and I was on the press conference. Weren't you? You were there too, right?
Yeah, I was on the call. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. And, salute to those ladies. Well-deserved. And, you know, Stewie, she's going to be one of the all-time greats when she decides to hang it up. The coach of the month was Walt Hopkins for the New York Liberty. It's still early, and the New York Liberty, they're off to a fairly decent start, man. They're 5-4. Sabrina's back. She's healthy. They got our old girl, Benaja Laney. She's doing really well for New York. And so it's good to see those girls flourishing. So salute to the coach and salute to the players of the month for the WNBA.
I did not realize that Walt was the youngest coach in the WNBA. That was impressive to me.
Yeah, like how did they say how old he was? Like how?
He's in his 30s for sure.
Wow, so he's younger than me. This is crazy.
I'm a baby. Amazing, but kudos to him. Well deserved, right?
Yeah, man, they're off to a really good start. So, you know, the crazy thing about WNBA, man, like I actually root for everybody except for when they play the Dream. So, like, I like to see New York. I like, Benaja's our girl, right? So, like, I like to see her do well, and except for when they play the Dream. But yeah, he's doing a great job with that team, man. He's doing a great job.
I love it. Awesome. Kudos.
Also in hot news, I wanted to point out that WNBA viewership along ESPN is up 74%. That's like big. So it's not like the ratings is 74%. It's up 74%. Like, for those of you who don't understand math, that means 74 on top of whatever it has been before. Crazy. So. Yeah, man, and that's across ABC, ESPN, and ESPN2. So, like, why do you think the ratings are up, Kerry? Well, like, why do you think they're doing so well in the ratings? I know it's still early, but hey, good is good, right?
But you know what? This is what I really truly feel. I feel this woman empowerment movement is so real and so consistent, and just so fast forwarding to so many great things, from us having a woman VP to us having, you know, the WNBA, the Atlanta Dream, being crucial and a prime reason why Warnick was elected. So I really feel like that movement for women is going strong. Look at Renee Montgomery, who's now owner of the team. We have voices, you know, and the voices are being heard. We're standing up, knocking down doors. And what can I say? It's our time. So I definitely am not surprised that the WNBA is making strides and getting more viewers to come in and watch us. I'm just super excited. This is an awesome time to make things happen.
Definitely, man. I'm with you. Like, I feel like it's a movement, and I feel like the movement, I don't think it was started last year, but I think last year it picked up a lot of steam.
Yeah.
Right. With just everybody speaking out and the messaging and just the unification of one voice, the empowerment. Yeah, especially when you look at the Dream, and now we have like female representation in the ownership group. like women are doing it, like they doing it, and like
yes,
like for real, like you got to celebrate these wins, man. You got to celebrate these things. So when I see things like the viewership is up for ESPN, man, like that makes me excited. Like that makes me excited as somebody who is a firm supporter of women. I married a woman, you know. I'm raising a young woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I came from a woman, so
exactly.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm always going to champion women. So, yeah, this is dope, man. It's super dope.
I love it. I love it. And continuing just to see what the future brings. It's going to be amazing. Watch and see.
Yeah, definitely. We talked a little bit about in the earlier podcast about the social media, because now you got WNBA games on every streaming platform. I said on Twitter I wasn't really a fan of the streaming platform. We had a game on Facebook, and I will say this, and I want to get your opinion. How was your opinion on the Facebook broadcast? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you have issues with it? Because to be honest with you, I kind of liked the Facebook broadcast, man. I was down for it.
Well, for me, you know, and I thought it was a Yukiri issue because, you know, Yukiri has a lot of issues, to say the least. But as I logged on, I noticed there was no volume. So, of course, you know, all of us are in a group chat. I'm like, group chat, hello? Can anyone hear the game? Is it me? And then I start seeing fans say, I can't hear anything. And you guys are like, oh, no, we can't hear anything. And then we had another, isn't it League Pass? You can see it on League Pass. So there are different ways to view it. I know with League Pass, there was a delay. So I guess the thing is still have it on many platforms as you possibly can until, you know, sometimes it's just technology. You have things that happen. So I liked it. You know, after I think it was the second quarter that the volume got fixed. But hey, I'm all for it. I was able to watch it and kind of know what was going on, just following the action. So yeah, it worked out. Did you like it?
So I logged on when you did, and like I couldn't hear nothing, but like it didn't last that long for me. I think they fixed it, you know what I mean? And for me, you know, the technical difficulties wasn't really that big of a deal to me because it was new, and I figured, oh, they're just working out the kinks. My thing was kind of just like the broadcast, right? And so I really enjoyed the announcers. I enjoyed the announcers much better than I did on Twitter. I thought that they weren't just all over the place. I thought they were actually speaking about the game and what's happening. So that's what I kind of look for, and that's kind of what made it enjoyable to me. So
I like it too.
Yeah.
All right.
So
there you go. There you have it.
Yeah. Ball don't lie. Okay, now it's time to get into this weekly recap. The last episode we had, the Dream were on a 3-game winning streak. Now they're on a 4-game losing streak, and that will tell you just how the tide can change in a week, right? But nevertheless, like Yukiri said in the beginning of the broadcast, still very optimistic about this team, still very believing in what this team can accomplish. They still have a lot of new moving parts, but they lose to two back-to-back games in Minnesota, and then they lose to two games against Seattle. The Minnesota games were close, right? I know that first one. I don't remember the second one. The first one was rather close. But they just didn't pull it out in the end. I think sometimes in the road, those shots, they don't fall as easy as they do when they're at home. What were kind of your thoughts and your takeaways from the loss, the two losses against Minnesota?
Biggest takeaways for me is just the Dream just ran out of gas. You know, they just couldn't keep up. And it was just a wrap for them, you know. Good game, though. Good chemistry. But it's just the gas part. It was like, okay. I don't know if they got tired, but they just couldn't pull it off.
Yeah. So let's loop in the Seattle games as well, because after the last loss, I don't know. I think you were on the press. I don't know. Were you on the press call with the last again, Seattle? Yeah. And coach had hinted to in the fourth quarter when they were about to make their comeback. He was like, I think once shots stopped falling, it really affected our defense, kind of saying that, like, yo, we got tired. Like, that's coach speak for saying, like, we got tired. And And against Seattle, you're not allowed to get tired. Right?
Freaking defending champions. You can't get tired. Please. They Sue do. Bird, who? Like, you know, Bianca, yeah. Who? Yeah. Yeah.
So they're so, they do so many things very well. And one of the things I asked after the game was, I asked, I think it was Coach, and I think I asked Elizabeth, what is it that Seattle does so well? Like, what is their secret? Like, you, when you play against championship teams, you wonder, like, what is your team taking away? Or, like, what do they notice that they just do so much better than everybody else? And she was like, you know, they have very good ball movement. You know what I'm saying? It stretches the defense. And they're just technically sound. And coaches said, like, that group has been together. Like, they've been together. Like, Sue Bird, Brianna, like, that crew has been together. And, you know, in the Dream, they're still trying to find that continuity. So maybe, like, you know, hopefully in a couple of years, if they stick together, they can have that same amount of continuity. But Seattle, man, they're a juggernaut. Yeah, juggernaut, man.
Here they come. Ah, yeah, exactly.
I thought that they competed pretty well for like three quarters, and even Tip said it after the game. He was like, she was like, yeah, we competed for like three quarters. You just got to play a four quarter game. And you hear that across the spectrum of sports. We used to hear it covering the Atlanta Hawks. The coach would say, we got to play four quarters. And the WNBA, I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing you really have to play four quarters. And I mean, if you don't, you gonna get got, because these girls on the other side of the ball, they can play.
That's it. But you know, I guess my biggest takeaway, you know, or my positive from that game was Tiffany Hayes. She recorded her 49th career 20-point outing, you know, with 22 points against Seattle. So again, that was momentum for her. I know it wasn't a win, but at least she got that. And it was her third straight 20 points game. And fifth of the season. So congratulations to Tiffany Hayes. You know, she's that vet. She's still that girl, that woman that we know can help pull this team together. So I'm still, again, optimistic. Hopefully, sooner than later, we can go against the Storm and win.
Yeah. And I think, if I mean, it's not like they blew us out. Like, you know, like they just, like, it just wasn't no game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they was competitive. But I mean, it's the champs. And so sometimes you just have to use playing against a certain team as a measuring stick of where you would like to be. And, you know, we're not there yet. You know, I mean, that's just the reality. You're not there yet. But the goal is, look, now we got to, it's no time to lick your wounds. You got Washington coming to town. You got Washington to town. So. Today. Like, they probably getting shots up in the gym right now. The Washington Mystics, they are on a two-game winning streak. They are 4-5. I know the Dream are 4-6, but I think it's going to be a fairly good game. Hopefully the Dream will have a little fire in the belly, and you know, hopefully they're going to want to get off that snide. You know what I'm saying? as far as the injury report, I know that Kennedy Carter is still listed as doubtful. For the Mystics, Deladon is out with the back, and Sidney Wise is out with the ankle sprain. So it's not listen, you don't want to wish injuries on anybody.
Anybody, right?
John's not going to be out there. Listen.
Hey, take advantage of the opportunity. That's all I'm going to say.
Because look, I'm sure nobody's crying over there the fact that we're probably going to be without Kennedy. But, you know, that's just kind of the game of injuries. But Deladon, man, she is an old-timer. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Deladon. That's all I can say. That's the name speaks volume, okay?
Yeah. So the Dream played the Mystics in the preseason. You know, we're not going to put too much into it because it was preseason. But the Dream did take care of business in the preseason. They beat them 87-80. But since the Mystics have gone 4-5, Dream have gone 4-6. And like I said, the Mystics are coming off a two-game win streak. So they're coming in there with a little momentum, right? A little momentum. What is it that you think, or what is it that you're kind of expecting for this dream team today to kind of have to get to a victory over the Washington Mystics?
Well, I just feel like they need to continue their positive offensive efforts. I definitely feel like they should heighten their energy on the defensive end, and perhaps we can pull out a big win. You know, that's what I'm foreseeing, perhaps. Yeah.
So what does coach say, like the nitty and gritty or like pretty and gritty, you know what I'm saying? Pretty on offense and gritty on defense. I think that's the formula, right? That's the formula. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, you got some shots on. You need a little bit more shots to fall from three. But regardless of whether your shots are falling, whether they're falling or not, you got to keep up that defensive intensity. You know, so even if coach said last game, he was like, when we didn't make shots, our defensive intensity wasn't the same, right? Like, you can't have that. Like, if you miss a shot, it don't matter. You got to go lock them up. You got to go lock. Yeah, no excuses. So I'm hoping that today they come out with some good energy. And I know when teams, these losses start to build up, you don't want to get to a point where you're playing not to lose instead of playing to win, right? Because there's a difference.
Right.
So
absolutely. You're right.
And I think that last year when they were in the bubble, like once the losses started accumulating, I thought that like towards the end, you're just playing like not to lose instead of playing to win. Because you're like, oh, man, we don't lost but 6-7 in a row. Like, what's going to happen? Right. Did you get that feeling last year?
I did. You know, and again, you know, Ed, that was such a different experience just for the team, just for everything. Collectively, you know, you had that ownership group, you know, you had the wobble, you know, you had players that were coming down with COVID, you know, and just again, still trying to figure it out. So, yeah, I think to me, I really felt like those games were scrimmages, you know, that's how it felt. Like, you know, what else can happen? Don't, you know what? This is not for real. We're just scrimmage games. So that's how that season felt to me.
But, is that because no people were in the stands and you just felt like it was a scrimmage?
I did. I that's how I felt. That was my biggest takeaway from last year. But it was, again, a lot of things that were happening with that team, a lot of situations, you know. The movement within itself, the WNBA coming out strong, standing up for Black Lives. It's just so much at once for this young team. And it was a lot, but I think in all honesty, the team did handle it with a grace.
Yeah. And I think this team is built a little different. I think this team's built a little bit different, a little bit more of a veteran presence on this team to handle losing streaks. You know, I think they're built a little bit different this year. And even those that were on the team last year that went through all that, they could understand, okay, look, we got to play to win. We can't play not to lose. So this seems like the type of team, and correct me if you think it's different, they seem like they're the type to hold each other accountable. Like, yo, man, we got to get out here. We got to do what we got to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just seeing the footage from afar or seeing them close up and seeing how Tiffany Hayes is taking that leadership role, and they're like, look, we need to do this right here and this right, you know, just watching that. So, yeah. I definitely see that they're holding each other accountable.
Yeah. My son wants to say hello. Say hi, EJ. EJ making an appearance on the podcast.
Hi, EJ.
EJ, and I got my nephew here. What's up, man?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, we a family show. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
We out.
But listen, all right, so definitely a game today against the Mystics, and that game is, I believe, tips off at 3:30, probably in about another hour or so, and hopefully they can knock off that losing streak and get back into the win column. Again, it's going to look like they're going to probably be without Kennedy Carter again. So prayers up to her, and hopefully she can get back as soon as possible. They really miss her. And I know she really wants to be out there on the court with her teammates, knowing, you know, what we know about Kennedy. She wants to be out there. So you can kind of see it even when you see her on the sidelines, you know, she wants to be out there.
And we want her back.
Yeah. All right, so let's go into buy or sell. So if you're new to the podcast, it's just a segment where we have a topic and we either buy it or we sell it. You know, it's kind of simplistic in its operation, but that's kind of how we do it. So, Kiri, let me ask you this. I'm going to start this, you know. So the Dream, they played Minnesota back-to-back. They just played Seattle back-to-back. I think that they're going to play Washington back-to-back because I think they play them today, and then I think they go to Washington to play them. I have to double-check that. But are you a fan of these kind of back-to-back games, playing the same team in the same week? You kind of like it. Yeah, you're buying it, you're selling it. You're not really a fan of it.
I buy it. But, you know, the crazy thing about it is it works when the team wins. You know what I mean? Like that total vengeance is mine. You know, that comeback win is always the best win, you know. But in the situation, or this case, it didn't happen just like that, but I still say I'll buy it.
Yeah, man, I'm selling this, bro. I'm gonna sell it for the same reason that you're buying it, because the Dream lost the two games when they don't play Minnesota. They lost the two games when they don't play Seattle. So get rid of it. I hate it. Like, nah, I'm selling it, yo. I don't like it. But listen. I'm gonna do it with a caveat though. If they beat Washington these next two games, and they play Washington today, and they play Washington on Thursday, if they win these two games, I'm gonna come back next week and I'm gonna buy it. How about that?
Okay. That's fair. It works. I mean, it just depends on what's going on.
So, that's the caveat. Yeah. So pretty much until it works in the Dream's favor, I'm selling it, man. I'm selling it. All right, so there's a new phenomenon going on, Kiri, and it's been kind of, well, I don't know if it's sweeping the nation, but it's sure making a whole lot of folks a whole lot of money, and that is celebrity boxing. We saw Floyd Mayweather and Rich Logan Paul fight the other week, and I think Lamar Odom fought somebody last night or this weekend. Buying or selling these celebrity boxing things? Some folks, they're into it, and if you're into it, that's cool. Some folks, you know, they're like, nah, not really my cup of tea. Where are you standing with the celebrity boxing?
Well, here's the thing, you know, that's strictly for entertainment purposes only, because at the end of the game, you know, no one wins. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, no one wins.
That's it. So. Go home.
Right. What's the purpose? But I do like pure entertainment. I love boxing. As long as it's positive and it has been, I'll buy it, you know? It's a great release of entertainment.
Okay, I'll so buy you it. Buy an entertainment factor. Now, do you know, like, do they give the money to charity? Do they give them all the money go to the boxers? Like, how does that work? Like, I don't know.
I do know that Floyd did get some money to do that, of course. But I do remember, was it Mike Tyson and Evander? Is that the fight that they had a fight, right?
I don't think. Did Tyson? Yeah, he did. No, him and Roy Jones fought.
Roy Jones. Yeah. So in that situation, the money went to charity as well. So I'm assuming it does go to charity. So in that event, I definitely will buy it. You know, if it's going straight to the boxer's pockets, not so much. But if it's going to charity, I think pure entertainment, that it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. It's almost like, do you remember back in the day, that celebrity knockout? What, the claymation people? Yes. Do you remember that? It's kind of like that, but not so much as intense or, you know, violent. Yeah. You know, so yes. I like it. I'm buying it.
Okay. You know, I always have caveats with mine. I'm going to buy it for the standpoint. And the only reason I'm gonna buy it is if the money goes to like a charity or something. I guess I'll buy it even for the entertainment value. For me, I wouldn't spend my money to like go watch it. But like if other people, and if it makes money, if it's just like entertainment, like, okay, like I'm not that dude to be like, yo, this is stupid. I ain't gonna spend my money for it. But like, you know, if other people want to do it, I'll probably bootleg it. You know what I'm saying? You know, but like, it's, so, but I mean, if they can raise some money to get to like a Boys and Girls Club or something, I'm all in. I'm all in, man. So, you know.
Yeah. So we agree for once.
We agree for once. You know, we're not gonna make that a habit, but we're gonna agree for once.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I don't know if you have any friends up in the Maryland northeastern area, but it is cicada time. Cicadas are these bugs that come out, I think, every 15 years or so. They come from underground. They make all of this noise, and they're just everywhere. If you have friends anywhere in the DMV, you've probably heard them talking about cicadas. So I saw this week that some folks are eating these cicadas, like chocolate-covered cicadas in Maryland. Like, folks is eating these things, like, you know. And again, like, I guess to each his own, but are you adventurous? You're going to be adventurous and you're going to dip your toe into the chocolate-covered cicadas? Or are you selling the cicadas?
So, you know, interesting enough, my daughter and husband told me about this yesterday. And I was just like, what? Because, yeah, they come out, like you said, like 15 years, every 15 years, and they go away. My daughter said they look or resemble roaches. And so I was like, what? And people are eating too. So yeah, my whole thing and my whole thought about that is, you know what? I don't care if you dipped in chocolate. I don't care if you smell it covered and fried extra crispy. I do not want to sop you up with a biscuit. I don't do bugs, and I'll have to sell that one. Okay.
I gotcha. I'm going to go with you on this one, too. I think I'm going to have to sell on the chocolate-covered cicadas. And I grew up in Florida around a myriad of bugs. And bugs ain't no thing to me. Like, they don't scare me. I don't see the flying ones. I don't see them all in Florida. It has it all. Never seen cicadas. Never had to deal with cicadas. But and I love chocolate. But I don't think I'm going to get down with the chocolate cicadas today or tomorrow. So yeah, I'm gonna have to sell this one. But if you listen to the show and you love chocolate covered cicadas, knock yourself out. Right?
Have at it.
Knock yourself out. The more for you.
Yes, the more for you. Cause you carry and E are out.
Yeah, man. We go sell on the chocolate cicadas. So that was by ourselves. Time to get into our player of the week and our unsung hero of the week. Even though this was a tough week for the Atlanta Dream, we still like to point out somebody that we kind of noticed or somebody that we thought is doing fairly well, be it just their effort or whatever the case may be. So, Kiri, I'm going to let you go first with your player of the week.
I think it's always the same person, but I definitely will change next week, I promise. But my player of the week goes to, of course, Courtney Williams. Scored her 12th career double-double with her 19 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists on Friday night against the Storm. Now, this vet continues to be the Dream's go-to player when it comes to offense. Definitely am not surprised or not shocked by Courtney Williams' performances, but I definitely am looking forward to the future with Courtney Williams. And again, Courtney Williams is my player of the week.
Salute to Miss Williams, man. Yeah, she's been a beast on the boards, man. I look up and I'm like, yo, she got 10, 11 rebounds. Like, and she's not like 5'2". Like, she be in there grinding. She's like a young Westbrook. She's like Westbrook, the way they just get in there. And it's like, how she end up with the rebound?
Right. Love her.
Yeah, salute to Courtney, man. Salute to Courtney. This one's going to make you laugh. And I know it's going to make you laugh. I'm going to go for my player of the week, and this is a personal favorite of mine, and I'm going to go Cheyenne Parker. I'm going to go Cheyenne Parker, and listen, y'all know I love me some Cheyenne Parker. She is recently inserted into the starting lineup as the power forward. She's recovering from COVID. Right now, she's at, I think, like 9 points a game. You know, she's still getting back into to the stretch of things. I love the dynamic that she's bringing to the starting lineup. And I think that this is kind of just the beginning. So I think she's really going to be flourishing on that front line next to E. Will and some of those guys. And she's able to stretch the four. She can hit the three. And she's just awesome, man. She's just awesome. So that's my player. That's my player of the week, man. She had a good game last game, I think, against Seattle. I think she had like 17 or so. So she's recovering from COVID. You know, she's getting into the swing of things. So that's my player of the week, man. And I'm looking forward to a good week from Miss Parker.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Parker. All right. So who is your unsung hero for the week? And before you give me your unsung hero, if you're new to the pod, we do an unsung hero each week. It could be basketball related. It could not be basketball related. So we don't really put a box under this. So we could go basketball. We could go entertainment. We could go politics. So it's kind of open. But Yakiri, who is your unsung hero for the week?
I think overall it's going to be, I'm just going to ride that wave of woman empowerment, you know. Portland Trailblazers are still looking for that head coach. And guess who's in the running? San Antonio Spurs assistant coach, Becky Hammon, along with South Carolina head coach Dawn Staley are among those initial candidates. Woman empowerment, what can we say? Women, here we come. Also, you know, Hammon is looking to interview pretty soon with the Orlando Magic as that head coaching job is open as well. So, again, another step forward into the woman empowerment movement. And, again, I'm just excited. Women, here we come. Knocking down those doors. There you have it.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time before we see a woman head coach in the NBA. It's so deserving that there's I mean, it's a lot of them that are paying their dues and so deserving, you know, so deserving. So salute to both of those ladies, man. They would be great choices for both of those jobs. So, yeah, salute to them.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go, and I've gone basketball all four episodes for my unsung hero. So this week I'm going to go entertainment. All right. I'm going to go Issa Rae. Issa Rae, the creator of the show. Insecure on HBO, one of my favorite shows. Just a, she is just a pioneer of gambling on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. She has produced just a great series. They just wrapped up the show. Season 5 will be their last season. They just
By choice.
So everybody that's on that show has like, you know, evolved and like, you know, grown and going on to bigger and better things. And I'm just a fan of the work that she has done. And so, like, I just wanted to salute to her, man. Like, you know, it's a great 5 seasons. It's in some shows, they just don't know when to stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's always that one show where you're just like, man, they probably should have stopped about 4 seasons ago. But, you know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but knowing like stopping when you're kind of on top, you know, and walk away in your own terms. I salute her and the cast and everybody. And she, again, a woman, a powerful Black woman doing big things. So salute to one Miss Ray, man. Salute to her. So, yeah. Shout out to her.
Thanks for continuing that woman empowerment movement. You know, this has been a theme here, seems like.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I wanted to get to a point where it's not even, like, where it's just kind of just a talk. You know what I mean? It's not even, like, a thing, you know? Like, yeah, you know, yeah, a woman's about to get an NBA job. Okay. So what? Like, that's the norm. You know, she's qualified. She's ready for it. So that's the goal. That's the push, right? And I think that when you look at progress, I think that progress needs to be championed by men, too. You know, I think that's important. So, yeah.
Amen. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That's how we do, man. That's how we do. So, it is now time for our parting shots. And, Ms. Curie, what is your parting shot for the week?
Shots for the week has always kind of been my same motto for it, even with the Chicks in the Sports Show. I've always said, you know, always hang in there. You know what's going on now, even if it's bad, horrible, the worst that can be will not stay the same. Hang in there. Tomorrow will be a different day. New start. Guess what? Nothing stays the same. You will be okay. Even when you feel like you're not, you will be okay. And that is my parting shots for everyone. You'll be okay.
Excellent, excellent. We need like a shot, like a gif or something. So parting shot. Yeah, I can dig it. My parting shot is gonna be centered around family. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm in South Carolina with my family and my brother-in-law and his kids and my in-laws, just enjoying each other here. And the thing about it is we appreciate it. Because last year we weren't able to get together because of the COVID, right?
That's how
And a lot of us, we didn't get to hang with our families this past year. A lot of us lost loved ones. And so, well, you got family out there, appreciate your family a little bit more, love on them a little bit harder, don't let them get any nerves so quick, appreciate your family, man, because your family's all you got, you know what I mean? So, that's my parting shot, man. Just appreciate your family, appreciate those around you, and just, show love, man. That's what I'm all about.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. I love it. I love
Sure,
it.
sure.
Good job. Good job.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the ATL Dream Podcast, episode 5 of season 2. Again, if you didn't catch us live, make sure to catch the replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast, you can catch us. Again, the dream should be tipping off in another 45 minutes or so. Hopefully, they'll bring home a win. But win or lose, Yakiri and I will be back next week to wrap up another week of Atlanta Dream Basketball, the only podcast in the world, in the universe, the only podcast in the universe dedicated to talking about the Atlanta Dream. On behalf of Jakiri, I'm Edub. We will see you next time. Peace and love.